Welcome, one and all, to our Sunday night Bible study and worship of our God. And we are going to do a more fun thing, but it actually goes to the theme that I'm trying to create. So to our family out there and friends and our family here, we're going to open with the Lord's Army. I'm still a big kid. I apologize up front. And I may be older, but I still like kids' songs. And it's a great song about being in the Lord's Army. So I'm going to do the motions. And it really would be pretty cool if we all stood up. What do you think?
I'm in the Lord's Army.
Military theme.
Soldiers of Christ, arise and put your armor on. Strong in the strength which God's strength will supply. Strong in the strength which God supplies through His beloved Son. Strong in the Lord of hosts.
There's a for standing with me, and you can be seated if you would. In Revelation 19, there is an image of a soldier who appears on a white horse. You know where this is going, right? He's the commander, he's the king, and he's leading. And his name is called Faithful and True. And on his leg is written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so we know who that is. That's Jesus. And behind him is depicted his army following him in battle. This song is actually has a Jewish flavor. So what I would like for us to try and imagine as we sing this song is Jewish culture. And in Jewish culture, they sidestep, the men would get in one circle and would sidestep as they sang around in a circle. And then at a certain point, they'd start back and go the other way. And the ladies had their own circle. In this case, I want you to imagine doing it around the throne. We are singing around the throne to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now here's what I'd like to try. We're going to let the men start and they'll sing it through twice. And when we get to the two part, Jesus, Prince of Peace, the ladies are going to sing for one time and a half. Guys, we can blow them out, but I don't want us to. I want us to shoot for a blend where we can hear everybody in the auditorium. So you want to try to sing at a level, the guys, where you can hear everybody in the room, and we'll let the ladies come in and sing. So, King of Kings, for the men.
King of Kings and Lord of Lords, glory, hallelujah. King of Kings and Lord of Lords, glory, hallelujah. Jesus, Prince of Peace, glory, hallelujah.
Okay, hold on. Ladies, you have to come in at, when we go, Jesus, you have to come in. Mike, you have to roll the screen back. Thank you. When we get to Jesus, you have to sing King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Oh, no, we're going to sing the whole song through two. Okay, my bad. That's all on me. Okay, so when I go like this, ladies, come in. All right, let's try it again.
King of Kings and Lord of Lords, glory, hallelujah. King of Kings and Lord of Lords, glory, hallelujah. Jesus, Prince of Peace, glory, hallelujah. Jesus, Prince of Peace, glory, hallelujah.
Thank you. At this time, Billy's going to come and pray.
Let's pray. Father, it's so good to be here tonight with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Where we can be joyful together, we can sing songs, we can praise you. Lord, it's just so good to be a part of your church and to be with others. Lord, we pray that your blessing would be upon this service, that you would help each one of us through this time together to find peace, to find strengthening and encouragement, to have our faith strengthened, to have our abilities to show kindness and love to others deepened. We pray that just through this time spent in worship and study, that you would bless each one of us the way that each of us needs. And Lord, we pray for your blessings on Mike, that he would have a ready recollection of all the things he has to share with us. Bless him and bless each one of us, Lord, to receive your word and to meditate on it and to incorporate it into our lives. Again, Lord, we're so thankful to be here. Bless each one of us tonight. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
The battle belongs to the Lord.
In heavenly armor we'll enter the land. The battle belongs to the Lord. No weapon that's fashioned against us will stand. The battle belongs to the Lord. And we sing glory, honor, power, and strength.
Amen. scripture reading, and Mike.
There is no story time tonight. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 28. We'll look at verses 16 through 20. Matthew 28, 16 through 20. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age."
All right, good evening. I tell you, I've had a lot of bribes today. I told them, you know, I'll just be up here for a short 45 minutes. And I got a few bribes with chocolate that's out there in the trunk. So they're like, and then we started when Gene asked me to get up here and speak, and I started going over time, we started sort of had this view in our head of Gene coming up here and dragging me off this stage by my ear. That is definitely something that we would never forget, that's for sure. But anyway, it's definitely good to be here. God has seen fit for some reason for us to still be here. And so tonight we're going to worship him. And I appreciated the songs. I was afraid that Steve was going to make us get up after doing the Lord's Army as we're going to start dancing in circles. And I was like, I don't know about that. I had to talk to, maybe before we do that, we may have to speak with John and Danny and Gene. Okay, I've been really looking forward to tonight. It's been a while since I've been able to give a sermon type. It's a whole lot different to do in a class because then I'm expecting some back and forth. Tonight I'll be answering my own questions. But tonight we're going to be speaking about what it means to live a victorious Christian life. Victorious Christian life. If you want to go ahead and turn to Ephesians chapter 1, we'll be there in just a few minutes. Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to spend a decent amount of time there along with some other scriptures. But this is going to be the basis of our scripture. I appreciate you reading the verses tonight where Jesus tells us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to everyone. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit tonight. Over in Ephesians chapter 1, around verse 4, it tells us that God chose us before the creation of the world. So think about that just for a second. We were chosen before the creation of the world. So let me ask you this. Why did God go ahead and create the world? If he knew that sin was going to enter into it, he knew that all of us are going to run around and we're going to live our lives as we see fit sometimes. Why did he go ahead and create the world anyway? So we'll get to that in just a few minutes. So over in Ephesians chapter 1, we'll start with verse 3, it says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." Think about that just for a second. He has blessed us with every spiritual gift in the heavenly realms. Not he may bless us someday. Hopefully he'll bless us. No, he has blessed us. And I want to make something clear. You've heard me say this 1,000 times. Not really. I haven't been here 1,000 times. But I'm speaking specifically to Christians, and then I'll speak specifically to non-Christians in just a few minutes. We have been blessed with every spiritual gift in Christ in the heavenly realms, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. So think about it this way. So the Father made the choice. The Father chose us. Christ purchased us. And the Holy Spirit takes control. Did you hear that? The Father chose us. Christ purchased us. He paid the ransom for us. And the Holy Spirit takes control. And we'll get to more of that in just a few minutes too. But the Holy Spirit is with us at all times. He leads us. He guides us. He is inside us. He dwells in us. We are indwelled with the Holy Spirit, leading us to a life of victory. How many people in here live a life that like to live lives as victims? Oh, well, I got one hand. One hand as a victim. We like to live lives in victory. And that's what God called us to do, to live victorious Christian lives. I have about 4 points that I'm going to make. And then the lesson will be yours. And then we'll be able to go out and celebrate with the children outside. The first point tonight is we have been chosen as sons and daughters of God. We have been chosen as sons and daughters of God. Look in that same chapter in Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to keep going here. Holy and blameless in his sight. In love. We heard that this morning. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. So look at verse 6, if you're still there. Look at verse 6. To the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us. Let me explain this specific verse right here. The Greek word, the original language of the New Testament is Greek. The Greek word here used is keratu. Has anyone ever heard the name, the word keratu? I know a few in here that have because I've run it by them before. Keratu. It's only used one other time in Scripture. In the whole Bible, it's only used one other time. Keratu, what it means, it actually means highly favored or full of grace. See it right there? See it right there? To the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given to us. So it means highly favored or full of grace. The only other time in Scripture that this was used is in Luke chapter 1, verse 28. Turn over there with me. Luke 1, verse 28. This is the only other time that the word keratu is used. Luke 1, verse 28. This is the archangel speaking to Mary, the eventual mother of Christ. Probably the most blessed person in the history of the world to be able to be the mother of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The Greek word keratu is used right here when speaking to Mary in Luke 1:28. It says, the angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. So what I want to tell you tonight, if you're a Christian, congratulations. You've been found highly favored. The Lord is with you. You see, everyone that has ever been put on this planet in the history of the world has been chosen. God did not put anyone on this world, on this earth, that did not have the chance to go to heaven, contrary to popular belief in the world. You'll hear this quite frequently. You'll hear, well, God made me that way and he loves me just the way I am. Part of that is true. God does love that person. But if they're living contrary to God's will, they will not receive a crown of righteousness. But for us Christians who live a life of repentance, who live a life of reconciliation with the Father, with our brothers, with our sisters on a daily basis, we have been found highly favored, and the Lord is with us. The second point, we always talk about our destination. My wife and I just came off of a 6-month road trip, and we were thinking all along the way, we're thinking, man, I can't wait to get to Arizona. I can't wait to get to Texas. I can't wait to get to Louisiana, Alabama, Tennessee. Can't wait. Can't wait. But, you know, we didn't really talk about all the places in between. We're thinking, oh, goodness, I can't wait to get there. But what about all these places and these things that we get to do in between? So how about the journey to get us to our destination? Our ultimate destination is heaven. That's guaranteed. As long as we live a life of a repentant life of reconciliation, we will be guaranteed a home in heaven when we die. We will be found part of the faithful remnant. But it's about the journey. Turn over to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians 1. Love the book of Philippians. Chapter 1, look at verse 3, starting there. I thank my God every time I remember you. Now, he's writing to the church of Philippi. But let's think of it like this. He's writing to the church here at Central. He's writing the Central Church of Christ. And Paul says, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel. Do you realize that we are all partners in this servitude to the gospel? That's why we were put here, to be servants to the gospel, to glorify the Father. And we're partners with everyone who has come before us, to include Paul. And we're partners with all those who are going to come after us. He thanks God with joy because of their partnership, because of Central Church of Christ's partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. So God doesn't just get us in the game and then just leave us alone. He's with us from the beginning to the end. He will see us from the beginning to the end. Remember in the book of Isaiah, we talk about it pretty frequently, it seems like these days, about the vision that Isaiah saw and just the magnificence that he saw. And he knew that God was going to be with him in every step of the way. We have no reason to fear, because God is with us. And if we do fear, where is our faith? Where's our faith? It's probably lacking if we have any kind of fear. You know, we talked a little bit about last week. We mentioned that in the book of 2 Corinthians, I believe it's in chapter 5, that they saw Paul as out of his mind. Out of his mind. Why? Why did they see Paul as out of his mind? That's because he had the insight, the grand scheme, the plan. He knows the plan. And if we're studying as we're supposed to be, we know the plan also. But he knew the grand scheme of things. He did not care what happened to him as long as he was standing up for the gospel, for Christ. He didn't care. Those days, he had to worry about being killed. You remember outside of Lystra or Derbe, one or the other, he was stoned, left for dead. But he didn't die. You know what he did right after that? That's right. He got right back up and got in the game again. He went back in preaching again. In our world here in Johnson City, Tennessee, we don't really have to worry about someone taking a bunch of rocks and stoning us, that's for sure. Well, I hope not. We're more worried about what do we look like? Someone saying something out of the way. Maybe someone made fun of us because we're preaching the word, or we're spreading the gospel, or we're trying to get someone to come to Christ, which is what we're put here to do. That was the reading that was read tonight. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. We should be out of our minds. People should see us that way. I would take it as a compliment. You're out of your mind. Oh, thank you. You see? Oh, thank you very much. Okay, go on down to verse 15 in Philippians chapter 1. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. So what was going on? People, while Paul was in prison, were actually preaching Christ. They were actually preaching Christ, but they weren't doing it for the right reasons. They were doing it to bring glory to themselves, not glory to God, not glory to Christ. And that's what he's saying right here. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. But what does it matter? Here's the important thing. The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. That's why we're here. We are here to preach Christ. And what are we preaching about Christ? Oh, he's a man. He walked this earth. Wonderful guy. Worked a bunch of miracles. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1 that he preached Christ crucified. Christ crucified. And we actually have example of that in the second chapter of Acts, if you want to go ahead and turn there, about what preaching Christ crucified actually looks like. Acts chapter 2, we're going to start with verse 22. Acts 2, verse 22. Very familiar chapter. We're on the day of Pentecost. This is 53 days after Peter had fled like he was just scared. How about that? He was scared. He ran off scared when he had denied Christ three times. Now this is just 53 days later. Now he has been indwelled with the Holy Spirit. Now he's going to speak with power. And I love to ask this question. I really love to ask this question. I asked it this morning. Are we indwelled with a different Holy Spirit than Peter was indwelled with? Did Peter get some different kind of superpower Holy Spirit that we don't get? I think we all know the answer to that. Go to 2 Timothy. It talks about not being timid. We have no reason to be timid because God has got our backs. Now, what does preaching Christ crucified look like? Look at verse 22. Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through him. As you yourselves know, this man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God, I always love those words. You look over in the book of Ephesians again, when we were separated from God, we were lost in our transgressions, and you know what it says after that? But God. God has our back. It says it right here again. But God, through his grace, through his mercy, through his love, raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. Okay. All right. Now we have preached Christ crucified. He died, he was laid in a tomb, and he was raised on the third day. Now, what kind of effect do we think that would have on people? See what it says right there? It says, with the help of wicked man, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. He said, you, and with the help of wicked men, put him on that cross. In reality, what put Christ on the cross? That's right. Our sin did. Not the Romans, not the Jews yelling, crucify him, crucify him. Sin put him on that cross. He didn't have to go on that cross. He could have called 10,000 angels. He could have done lots of things, but he didn't. He went on the cross. And here's the effect. Go down to verse 36. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. He is the Lord and he is our Savior. And so now we've preached crucified. We've told the world that Jesus is the Lord and Savior. What was the response to this in Acts chapter 2? What was our response when we realized that we needed a Lord and Savior in our lives? Acts chapter 2, down in 37. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. They were pricked to the heart. It cut. It pierced. It hurt. You know what this word did to these people? It convicted them. It convicted them. Whenever we realized that we needed a Lord and Savior, we were convicted. The word convicted us. And we said the same thing. What shall we do to be saved? And that's when Peter replied, repent. You know that the very first word of Peter's ministry, the very first word of Paul's ministry, the very first word of Jesus' ministry, you know what the word is? Repent. That's how important it is. When I say we need to live a repentant life, reconciling ourselves with the Father daily, that's how important repentance is. It's not a one-time thing. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, or for forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, here's the key. Now that we are living this victorious life in Christ, and we talk about the fruits of the Spirit all the time, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. We talk about those all the time. Now, is it a guaranteed thing that we're going to experience these fruits of the Spirit just because we went down into the waters of baptism? It's not. If we want to live a life of joy, of love, peace, kindness, goodness, if we want to live a life of these fruits of the Spirit, we have to be doing the work for God. The fruits of the Spirit are the byproduct of that. It's not a guaranteed thing. Oh, I got baptized. I've got the fruits of the Spirit now. I'm very joyful. That's not how it works. We get out there on a daily basis and we do the work we were called to do. And we will experience love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, something like that. We will experience that. And you know, this is an eternal decision. You know, people who choose not to make this decision, they have eternity also. You do realize that, right? There's going to be eternity one way or another. And one thing I don't like to do, and I tell people all the time, if you're going to obey the gospel, don't do it out of fear. Don't do it because I had some great spiritual enlightening feeling one day when the preacher was preaching. It requires thought. It requires study. It requires knowing exactly what we're getting into. If we're going to join the greatest organization ever in the history of the world, we need to understand what we're getting into. That requires commitment. Peter, on in that chapter right there, go ahead and flip over. We're going to read verse 39. This promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off. This promise is for everyone. Remember, I asked you the question, did God make people who did not have the chance to go to heaven? The answer is absolutely not. He gave this promise to every single person that's ever been put on this earth, no matter what they claim to be. For all whom the Lord our God will call. Look at verse 40. Verse 40. This is a very powerful verse right here. We don't read this verse very often, but it says, with many other words, he warned. Pretty sure we all know what a warning is. We start to open a bottle of something that could be toxic or poisonous or something, we read the warning label. Well, we're talking about eternity here. Let me throw a warning out there real quick. If we do not have our lives right with God, in the day of Christ, we will not be going to heaven. Let's just make that clear. Sin will not enter heaven. If we haven't been baptized into Christ, we're still in sin. For the life of me, I can't figure out how, when I hear all these invitations up here, I cannot for the life of me figure out how come there's not people just running up here. And it's don't worry, it's this way everywhere else I go too. So it's not just central. I just expect, it's like, wow, that was such a powerful lesson, Tim. It was so good. I'm expecting everybody to come up. What are we waiting for? This past week, I say I had the opportunity. I feel like it was an opportunity to go to a wake. I think it's called a wake or a viewing, whatever we call it in the South here, of a 7-year-old boy. Seven years old. That is not the way that we have it in our heads, of the way things are supposed to work. Pretty sure his parents weren't expecting the day before, the night before, or whatever, that they're going to be without their son the next day. That's what I mean. I can't believe people aren't running up here every single chance we get to obey the gospel, to repent, to get our lives right with God if they're not. That's right, it says it right there. With many other words, he warned them. And I see speaker after speaker after speaker here at Central and every other congregation I've ever been to. What does it say next? And he pleaded with them. Pleaded with them. Because of what Tim spoke on this morning, because out of love. Pleaded with them to save themselves from this corrupt generation. Those are the results of Peter preaching Christ crucified. What shall we do to be saved? I think it's pretty clear. So once we're living a resurrected life, after we've been baptized and resurrected on the other side, living a resurrected life, how do we sustain that? How do we sustain living a resurrected life? Well, we'll go down a little bit farther there in Acts chapter 2. And if you're in my Sunday morning Bible class, this is getting drilled in your head. They're probably sick of hearing read, pray, fellowship every single day. Probably really getting sick of it. But that's exactly what we need to do to keep the devil from getting a foothold on us. We have to read, pray, and fellowship. Look at verse 42. This is how the church grew in the first century, right when the church started. Here we go. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Now, how do we do that today? That's right. We study, we read, we meditate, and we apply it to our lives. That's how we give ourselves over to the apostles' teaching. To fellowship. I've mentioned fellowship many, many, many times. And it comes easy to some folks. Fellowship does. I get it. It comes easy. But there's so many ways to fellowship these days. Shoot out a, be willing to shoot out an encouraging text. Be willing to do a phone call, send a card, do something. Do something that lights up somebody's life. Be that person that people say, wow, I would like to be just like that person. Went to a funeral a few months ago that, again, Tim did. And he read, I'm going to read it too. He read this song at the funeral. And I don't even know the person who was in the casket. Never met him. But my goodness, that person has really touched my life. I can tell you that. They have touched me, and I never even met this person. It says, each day I'll do a golden deed by helping those who are in need. My life on earth is but a span, and so I'll do the best I can to be a child of God each day. My life must shine along the way. I'll sing his praise while ages roll and strive to help some troubled soul. The only life that will endure is one that's kind and good and pure. And so for God, I'll take my stand. Each day I'll lend a helping hand. While going down life's weary road, I'll try to lift some traveler's load. I'll try to turn the night to day, make flowers bloom along the way. Life's evening sun is sinking low. A few more days and I must go to meet the deeds that I have done, where there will be no setting sun. You get it? Do we get it? In the scripture that was read, one of the biggest words, and I'm sure you've heard this before, it says go, which requires action. We can't just sit on our hands and expect Tim and the elders and the deacons and everybody else around here that does stuff. We can't just sit around and expect them to do the work here in Johnson City, Tennessee, and expect this church to grow. We all as members have a responsibility to live a beautiful life, to spread the gospel. Read, pray, fellowship daily, so that we don't allow that devil a foothold on us. What a day it will be. What a day it will be once we finish up our lives. And we have entered heaven in victory. That's where we want to be. A victorious life. We have the insight. We have the grand plan right in front of us. We just need to study it and apply it to our lives and do it with love. The question tonight is, are you a Christian? I don't know who's a Christian, who's not a Christian in this room. I have no idea. I know some who are, but I don't know everyone who is not. If not, why not? One more scripture. Turn over to John chapter 3. I told you I don't want to scare people. I don't want to scare people into obeying the gospel. John chapter 3, verse 36. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life. You remember? Remember the warning Peter was giving? He was pleading. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them. Mike didn't say that. The Holy Spirit said that. If you haven't obeyed the gospel, and you believe the word, you believe the words of the Holy Spirit, you're ready to repent of your sins, turn away from whatever it is you were doing. Do a complete 180 in your life. If you're ready to confess before all these folks here tonight that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and go down into the waters of baptism. Put on that gift of the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit take possession of your life. It doesn't just stop there. And then live a life holy and blameless, because now you've put on Christ. Or if we are a Christian and we've fallen away, or we just need prayers of the church for any reason, I'd ask you to come while we stand and while we sing.
This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from.
Thank you, Mike. We're going to sing 356 for our song that is to prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper, for those of you who were not able to partake of it. And it talks a lot about the things you believe about Jesus, and that he died on Mount Calvary, that he was raised from the dead. We're going to sing one verse of this to remind us of what we believe about Jesus.
I believe that he spoke to them as trust, and he said, "The blind is set free." I believe that he reigns alone.
ahead and be seated, please. As we prepare to take communion, I want to share with you this reading from Hebrews 10, beginning in verse 10. For God's will was for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ, once for all time. Under the old covenant, the priest stands and ministers before the altar day after day, offering the same sacrifices again and again, which can never take away sins. But our high priest offered himself to God as a single sacrifice for sins, good for all time. Then he sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand. There he waits until his enemies are humbled and made a footstool under his feet. For by that one offering, he forever made perfect those who are being made holy. And the Holy Spirit also testifies that this is so. For he says, "This is the new covenant I will make with my people on that day, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds." Then he says, "I will never again remember their sins and lawless deeds." And when sins have been forgiven, there is no need to offer any more sacrifices. Let's join in prayer. Father, we give thanks for this bread we're about to take. We know it is an emblem of Christ's body, that he came here in flesh like ours, leaving heaven, walked among us with marvelous teachings and the miracles he performed, and lived a perfect life. And for our sins, went to the cross that we could have forgiveness and a hope of eternal life. And for all these things, we give you thanks. In his name, amen. Let's pray again. Father, as we partake of the fruit of the vine, we focus on Christ's blood shed at the cross for our sins. He, being perfect, died for those who were sinful, that being us. But through his sacrifice, we have the joy of knowing that our sins are remembered no more. For this, we are always thankful. We give you thanks. In Christ's name, amen. Let's also join in a prayer to give thanks before any contributions that are made. Let's pray. Father, you've given us your own Son to come here, die for us, that our sins might be washed away. And we give you thanks for that, Lord. And in addition, each and every day you bless us with an uncountable number of blessings. They just keep coming our way. And for that, we cannot thank you enough. But we do give thanks. And we make our contributions to the church, Lord, with the desire and the hope that they will be used in a way that will do a great amount of good for your cause in this area and in distant areas, that good will be reaped from the contributions that are made. We give you thanks. It's in Christ's name that we pray this. Amen.
We're going to do a parting song. It's a song I hope you'll carry with you through the week, or at least out the door, and that is from Romans chapter 12, verse 21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good, with good, with good. Overcome evil with good. There's a story about a little boy who walked along the beach, and he was throwing starfish back into the ocean. And an old man said, "That's not doing any good." And he said, "It makes a difference to that one." And I'm hoping this song will make a difference in our lives as we interact with people. So,
do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Do not be overcome by evil, with good, with good.
Thank you. Let's go to God in prayer. Wonderful Heavenly Father, we love you and we count our blessings, and they steal what we know that you provide for us. We steal our, it's just overwhelming. And then there's all the stuff that you're doing that we just don't even know about, Lord. And we thank you for those blessings. Help us to be a blessing to others, to share those blessings to others, to show how great you are, the light into this darkness. Help us to be that. Lord, be with us throughout this week to guide our thoughts and our minds to do your will. And forgive us when we fail you, and help us to learn from our mistakes, to love others kindly and gently and humbly. Lord, thank you for your Son, most of all, for all the things that he's done for us, for dying for us, and giving us hope, a chance, and saving us. Lord, be with this congregation and help us make good choices with the resources that we've had, and be with the elders and the deacons and the teachers and the workers. Lord, each member and watch over them, help them bring about glory to you. Lord, be with us in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I've got some trunk or treat announcements.